everyone, and welcome into episode number 265 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm also Nick.
Yeah, I felt like our Nick quota was a little bit too low.
That's
with only 33%.
I'm constantly saying that. We need more Nick.
We need more Nicks. Nicks specifically. So, Nick, you're one of the district trivia staff members. You're out and about managing all the venues. Tell me something interesting about yourself, because you haven't been on the podcast in a while.
Yes, I'm the sales guy. I'm constantly out there. I guess the most interesting thing about me is I grew up at the beach. I am covered in sailor tattoos, and I cannot swim.
You cannot swim, but you grew up at the beach?
Correct.
Is that the definition of irony?
Yes.
Or a good example of it?
I have
the use of a word other than its literal intention. That is the actual definition of irony.
My 11th grade teacher said it was the apparent discrepancy between appearance and reality.
Okay.
And I don't know why that sentence stuck with me. but also one of her books did as well, because I found that on my bookshelf, and it's a property of Mrs. Siegfried. So I'm sorry.
That's the name of my cat.
Mrs. Siegfried?
Uh-huh.
Oh, well, she was great. She was a very nice teacher, but I stole your book. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. Anyway, so you can't swim.
Nope.
Do you ever want to swim?
I try to snorkel snorkel in Hawaii with all my brother's wedding out there, and literally got pulled out of 2 feet of surf by two grown men because I was drowning, because I got caught into a sea nettle nest, and then I panicked, and then I went under the water, and everyone's like, where's Nick? And out they dragged me. Another ironic thing is that beach was called Children's Beach.
Oh, no.
And it's where they teach children how to swim and surf.
Oh.
So I sat there and drank a beer in the back of the pickup truck, and all the surfers are like, we can teach you how to swim and surf. And I was like, did you just see what happened, pal?
5 minutes ago, I had to be pulled out by 8-year-olds.
Yeah, can't swim so good, guys.
Oh.
And you grew up in Ocean City.
Well, also, the Ocean City surf is pretty rough. Like, I'm a big, and I will say this, I'm an anti-wave person.
Really?
I like my beaches flat so I can just lay on my raft.
It's like a pond.
I don't like lakes or ponds, though. There's a lot more treacherous creatures.
Wait, you...
I think it's more slimy things at the bottom of lakes, and I think that there's a lot more chances of getting flesh-eating bacteria, so I'm not a big lake person.
I agree with that.
But I like, as we call it back home in Pennsylvania, the cricks.
Uh-huh.
So we had a little creek, or a crick as we called it, that ran into a river, and we'd swim in the river a lot. So.
Those are dangerous too for
you
me.
You swim in the river, but you don't like ponds?
Yeah, the river's fine. I mean, it was a Schuylkill, so, and downstream a Redding, so.
Oh, yeah, no, so it's not good anyway.
But no one cares about all this, but we care about you.
Thanks.
You have your interesting fact, but I want Groves to start. You're going
to
be our middleman here.
Okay, middleman.
You know what's good? So as a nice, smooth segue, my interesting fact is, still wrong. My interesting fact is definition related.
Definition related.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
It's that time of year again. Merriam-Webster is adding new words to the to their online dictionary.
Oh, this is a funny thing, because I feel every year somebody gets dibs on the new word added as their fact.
Yeah, and whoever comes across it.
Yeah.
You should put it in the calendar as like, oh, make sure to get new words.
Yeah, because I remember one time it was like wine o'clock, and that was my fact,
right.
And then the tear face emoji was one.
Uh-huh. The first emoji added to, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Which is what we'll solely be communicating in soon.
Right. Just, you're going to be all emojis?
I feel like the human race will be. We're just going back to hieroglyphics.
You said that right.
Hieroglyphics?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. You sounded like you were confused about it.
No, oh, I didn't mean to be.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's very easy to understand. So if your lady's ticked off at you, you get like a unsmiley face, and you're like, oh, she's definitely mad, you know?
Right.
Oh, it's not.
That's a lot easier.
It's a lot easier to read between the lines.
It's not the, what I do. Sorry, Joey. I'm fine. I'm like, I'm never fine.
No.
That was, okay. Have you watched the new season of Kimmy Schmidt? By new season, I mean season 3.
Yes.
Okay. There's one joke in there that it was really funny. It was the, I don't even know how to text somebody, I'm sorry for throwing a dumpster at you. And he's like, eggplant emoji, the French flag pumpkin. There it is. That's perfect.
Okay. Sorry. Your fact.
Right, so
I was
yeah.
distracting you.
So this is my favorite one that's been added to the dictionary so far. Is an utterly calamitous or mismanaged situation or occurrence. Also, disaster. What is the word that was added to the, or the phrase that was added to the dictionary, online dictionary? An utterly calamitous or mismanaged situation or occurrence, or second definition, disaster.
Dumpster fire.
Dumpster fire is correct.
Oh, you nailed it. Yes! That's
look
awesome.
At that.
We should really have cameras in here. You went from like I have no idea what he's talking about to the most excited I've ever seen you.
I you know, it's like when we did the escape room and I was like, I solved two puzzles. Everyone's like, Nick?
Question mark? Well, you were very nervous.
The sales
about
guy?
It.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, how did you come to find a dumpster fire in your vernacular there?
I use that word a lot. This person is a dumpster fire. It's constantly a lot of stuff involved. It's calamity.
Yeah. Calamity.
Calamity.
Cool. So that was the word added?
That was the word. It's one of 850 new words added to the Merriam-Webster Online Dictionary.
But this is not the word of the year.
It is not the word of the year. No, it is just one of 850 that have been added to the online dictionary.
Okay, cool. Because I mean, that's a very different context than dumpster and fire.
Yes, very much so. Yeah. Dumpster fire, noun, U.S. informal.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought that was awesome.
It is. Good way to go, dictionary. What is your fact? Or don't tell me your fact. Ask me your question.
Where do we go? Where do we go from here? My question is, how old currently do you think Axl Rose is?
How old currently is Axl Rose?
He's had a lot of surgery and stuff as well, FYI.
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, that was, I got to assume, so Axl Rose, the biggest in the 80s, right? Isn't that when that, all that came
Guns
out?
Guns N' Roses?
Yeah.
But a little bit later.
You're a big
Appetite
music
for
guy.
Destruction, yeah.
I think that was like 80.
Is that their debut album was Appetite for Destruction?
I believe so.
Okay. So, which was mid 80s, give or take. I mean, you got to assume he was what? Early 20s in the mid 80s?
I would think so, yeah. I mean, that would make sense, right? Most bands, I feel like, are early 20s.
So it's been 33 years, so I'm going to say he's 58.
58.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking the over.
Okay.
I'm going to say he's like a rockin' qualified for AARP, which was that 55? 60?
55, I think.
I don't know. I have a friend that works there. I should ask.
So Sarah got her first, like, hey, you should think about your upcoming AARP, and she's like, I'm 36, they can go to hell.
They do a lot of cool content. Holler at you, TJ.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm gonna say 68.
What?
Is that wrong?
He was.
Well, you come into this podcast, you get one fact right, and then you're gonna judge everybody else's guesses. All right.
I'm sorry.
You know what? 68. With one fact right, he's well ahead of where Michael is.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
He was born on February 6, 1962, which makes him 56 years old.
56.
Wow, you're pretty good.
I was too high. Yeah.
Pretty good.
I think I would have highballed it as well, but, you know, this guy's don't age well.
He looks like he's 150.
I mean, he looks like a stretched-faced pancake thing. I don't know. It looks really creepy. I don't know.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Aww,
he looks a lot different than he did in the 80s.
Okay, but he definitely is the coolest name, I feel like, if you're going to be named
he
Axl.
He lost a lot of weight, though, when I saw him live two
times.
Oh,
really? Because he was really heavy.
Yeah. I guess he got made fun of and he got shamed into. I guess his favorite meal was like Taco Bell or something. And he was going there like three times a day.
Oh, I'm not complaining about Taco Bell. And we are not body shaming Axl Rose. Let me clear.
No, I'm no spring chicken.
I absolutely have to find this, but tagging on to that is an additional interesting fact.
Oh, please.
I'm going to throw another one out there. And you know what? I'm going to do it in question form.
Oh, that seems oddly relevant.
Yeah. What is the healthiest fast food chain?
The healthiest by what metrics?
Healthiest by, like, if you do nothing but eat at that fast food chain. I'm going to have to find the article and I'll put it in the link down. But if you do nothing but eat at that fast food chain, what is the chain you should choose that is the best for you? Like, the healthiest, the best ingredients, the most locally sourced, the most, like, green.
Okay, who's determining this?
It was a study by somebody that I read and I forgot and I thought I bookmarked and then I didn't. But then when he said something, it brought it back.
But you know the answer.
I know the answer, yeah.
This is a national chain.
Yes.
Okay, so it can't be like, you know, Sweetgreen from like around here.
No.
Okay.
Is Sweetgreen, I didn't know that was local. I thought that was national. They should be. They're great.
Georgetown students.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, I love me some salads, though. I got to treat myself because $14 for a salad is a little bit too much.
Right.
But anyway, please sponsor our podcast, lettuce. Okay, so healthiest, I would think that my initial gut would be Panera.
Okay.
But they got a lot of bread and a lot of carbs, and they do have some unhealthy-ish options. Like they have the potato bacon soup, which is baller, and a lot of other delicious, really high fat content.
I was going to say, if it's delicious, it's not good for you.
But they have a lot of, you know, healthy other options.
Okay, I found the article. It's Business Insider.
Business Insider. Okay, they always do lists like this.
And then, I mean, keep going and I'll look for the
okay, so Panera is incorrect.
Panera is not correct. Yeah, that's
okay,
right.
What do you think, Nick?
Oh, I mean, I jumped from my thought from Taco Bell to this, so it might be Taco Bell.
It is Taco Bell. Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
2 for 2.
Yeah.
Oh,
2 for 2.
Gosh.
That's exactly what it is. Taco Bell is basically low-keyed their whole transition to fresher, like, safer, better ingredients to the whole thing, and now it is ranked as, like, the number one healthiest fast food chain.
Does this include like the Dorito Locos tacos and like the all of their crossovers?
I think it just includes like if you were to try to eat healthy at a restaurant at
that's
one
fair.
Of these places.
Because that's a big thing is that one of the McDonald's salads are more calorie heavy
than a Big Mac.
Than a Big Mac, yeah.
Which is it's ironic because Chipotle is not doing so well in the healthy food.
Well, you know,
department.
If they could just, yeah, I was going to say, Chipotle has taken over the diarrhea crown from Taco Bell, and Taco Bell went healthy.
I sense that irony is our theme for the podcast today, because it is ironic that a salad would have more calories than a Big Mac at McDonald's. But.
Yeah, so basically it says you can go to Taco Bell and have a Crunchwrap Supreme and hate yourself.
Right, or they have some other
But they also have healthy and delicious, you know, options that are on the menu that are better for you.
No. Taco Bell after the podcast, guys.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm starving.
No kidding.
I've never actually been to a Taco Bell.
All right,
in
we're
my
changing
entire
that.
Life.
Never have I ever. Jeez, yeah. That's a good one.
Changing that today.
My go-to is never have I ever had chicken pox because I got that vaccine.
Oh, you're so young.
Yeah, not that young. But can I go into my fact? Because it's a long one. It's a setup, but I got multiple setups to go. Okay.
Oh Lord.
Yep. All right. So here we go. So the most recent annual study of the Motion Picture Association of America, what percentage of moviegoers were women?
Okay.
What percentage of women were moviegoers?
Moviegoers
were women.
55%.
I'm going to go with 44%.
44%.
I see a lot of I use the word nerds?
Nerds? Well, that's me. I'm going to the movies.
I see a lot of single dudes going to the movies a lot more than I do like single women. I don't know, and I feel
but there are packs of women.
There's I'm, again, I don't know how to do this with that. I'm walking on eggshells here. But
right. What is
the
class?
I feel like there's.
There is no hate for nerds here. We are doing a trivia podcast. but yeah, no. Okay, so Nick, you're a little bit closer, but you win Price is Right rule. So it's 52% of moviegoers are women.
Okay.
So slightly skewed. So my next
really so it's
this
more.
Is a this
what's
is
the
a,
overall percentage of women?
It's about like
Isn't
just
it
52%? Over 50. It's just 51%? A little bit over 50.
Okay, so it's right about population average.
Yeah,
okay.
I'd say it's. But the point is, there's more women that go see movies according to the Motion Picture Association of America.
Right,
and you'll see where I'm going with this. So this is set up. So IMDb, you guys have heard of IMDb.
Mm-hmm.
You use it regularly.
Constantly. Yeah.
Yeah. So it is the 29th most popular website in the United States.
29th non-porn pop site.
I don't know if they included. I don't know if they included porn websites in there, but I feel like
no comment.
But I feel like porn sites. There's so many of them that it wouldn't. Right. There's not like one, but I don't know. I'm not.
I think that was a Simpsons joke. You know, 15 years ago was the you're the third most popular website. Third most popular non-porn website, which makes you 1,874th overall.
Okay, so IMDb has a popular list that's called the Top 250. Have you heard of this? Have you seen this?
No.
Okay, so they have a list that's the top 250 movies. Basically, this list, you have to have 25,000 regular voters to qualify for the list. You have to be a popular movie. Like, they have a whole list of things of how you qualify for the top 250.
Sure.
But what's interesting is that most of the IMDb raters are men. So 90% of men of these films that qualified, 4,300 of them, outnumbered women reviewers 2-1. 50% of these reviews men outnumbered women 5-1. And 12% outnumbered women 12-1. So the guys at 538 said, what if we took and made it weighted 50-50?
Okay.
How would the top 250 movies change?
Did they randomly take one and one from the whole thing? Did they just take the first X number so that it was even all the women and then that number of men?
So it says that they weighted it 50-50 and they did their best to match IMDb's like qualifications, but IMDb is kind of like not very forthcoming of how they figured it out. So there's a little bit of kind of funkiness, but 538 seemed to be pretty open about what they did.
They created a system and they stuck to it.
Yeah, and they eliminated some of the films that were outside the top 1,000 to eliminate like vote stuffing, which IMDb and Rotten Tomatoes and all those have active problems with because like people don't like Black Panther because they're racist, so they try to vote down,
vote down,
things like that. no, seriously, that was a big. The alt right was very much like, yo, we need to.
Really?
You know, yeah. And so all these movie review websites have to be like, stop that. Anyway, so they adjusted it all, and they found that the movie that is currently number one overall stayed the number one overall movie for both men and women when it was weighted.
Okay.
So this movie was number one for women, number one for men overall, number one overall as the list as it currently stands, and number one when it was weighted by the gender 50-50 in reviewers.
Okay.
So my question is, what movie is that? I know that was a long way to get there, but I thought this was really, really interesting.
What's your favorite movie? Can I have a follow-up question?
Oh. Of course.
Have you seen it?
I have, actually.
Okay, that narrows the list down significantly.
My favorite movie is The Departed.
The Departed is not in the top 10 on any of the lists.
Well, screw them.
it's got to be like, so the overall list of like the greatest movie ever, like The Godfather Part 2.
The Godfather Part 2
is The Godfather.
On the actual list, Godfather is number 2. Uh-huh. Godfather Part 2 is number 3.
Okay.
On the men only list, Godfather is number 2. Godfather Part 2 is 6th.
Okay.
And
so women
them,
like Godfather 2 more than men do.
And then women, neither of the Godfathers are on the list.
Okay. What is?
I can tell you that it was a Best Picture nominee, but it did not win.
Okay.
Scarface.
No, I don't think that was that a Best Picture nominee?
Scarface is not on the list for anybody.
Screw them.
So I have the top. I have the top 10 in front of me for actual the gender weighted, the women top, and then the men top.
Okay. So Hart, what is that one movie that comes on? That whenever you're flipping through the channels and it comes on, you just pick it up wherever it is and watch it all the way to the end.
Mean Girls. But that's not the answer. The most rewatchable movie, in my opinion.
Dude, I'm drawing a blank.
For me, it's either The Princess Bride or Shawshank. And since I know The Princess Bride isn't at the top of that list, I'm going to go with Shawshank.
That's correct.
All right.
Oh. Yeah, Shawshank Redemption,
really?
Number one for the actual, for the gender-weighted, the women and the men, Shawshank swept the board first overall. Any other guesses as to some movies that might be on any of these lists while we're here?
Mean Girls.
Mean Girls is not on there. The women's list
then
is actually.
Then this list is invalid.
How about The Notebook?
No, you guys are thinking.
Thinking the movies that are on Lindsay's list.
Movies that women have made people watch. I guess maybe. I don't know. But the women's list, if you would like it.
I love romantic comedies.
10th for the women, Forrest Gump. 9 is Inception. Mm. Number 8, Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring.
The first one. Okay.
Schindler's List, Fight Club. And 5th for women is the only animated movie on any of these top 10 lists. Which animated movie?
The number one animated.
Shrek.
Inside Out.
No, Lion King. 3rd is The Dark Knight. 2nd, Lord of the Rings, Return of the King. And 1st for women is The Shawshank. You want to do the men list?
Sure, because we're dudes.
And go ahead, start throwing out movies. I'll tell you if they're on the list. You know that the Shawshank's 1, Godfather's 2, Godfather Part 2 is 6th.
The Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction is 10th.
I was always on those lists.
I think that new movie, the Battle in Cell Block 99, should be an automatic addition to everybody's
list. But
this
is the top movies of all time ever. So you got to figure.
Star Wars?
Nope, Star Wars isn't in the mix.
Not in the mix. Okay.
There is one superhero movie in the top, in third.
And that it was you haven't already mentioned?
Nope.
It's Dark Knight.
Yeah, Dark Knight, obviously. Yeah. And that was 3rd for men, women, and then the gender weight, and then it only came up to 4th in the actual
list. So how many
list.
Are we missing from the male list that you haven't mentioned?
Just one.
Just one.
Yep, because...
You want to give us the genre?
People arguing about stuff, I've never seen
12 Angry Men?
Yeah. Let's play Taboo right now.
He's on fire, folks. He's on fire.
12 Angry Men is about a jury coming to a deliberation.
Yes, I knew that, and I also assumed it was a jury because it's all men represented, but whatever.
Sure. I haven't seen that. I did see Jury Duty with Pauly Shore, though.
Okay, yeah, you know what? Very similar.
Okay.
Actually, I think that the Pauly Shore movie was the inspiration for 12 Angry Men.
I met him, and I bought a shirt from it that said, I only sleep with the best. I gave it to my girlfriend at the time.
Yeah. How did that work out?
Didn't work out well. I think she went with the Pauly.
But yeah, that's the list. I thought it was interesting. It's obviously not super scientific, but kind of cool that the movie... Number one famous movie.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to analyze the genres of all those. They're all essentially dramas.
Dramas and actions.
Yeah,
and
dramas.
Both of them have Lord of the Rings.
Right.
I don't know how Inception got up so top to the top of these lists, but
everybody really likes it. Makes them feel smart about things.
I don't know.
There's no Quentin Tarantino movies on this?
Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction's on there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right. So anyway, that's my fact. What's our phrase?
I have no idea. I've been listening for one the whole time. I only sleep with the best.
My gosh.
Pauly Shore's t-shirt. Yeah. Heart gets it.
And the weasel.
Please, you know, make sure, do not make your host feel uncomfortable. Please write it on the bottom of your answer sheet, and don't be weird.
Right.
Please and thank you. And for those of you that are listening in for the first time, your secret phrase gets you 5 points at your venue. So write that down on your answer sheet in Portland, D.C., and Boston, and hopefully more cities soon. We'll see.
Yeah.
But this has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Nick.
We don't know either.
I threw you at the end.
Bye. I did.